shares little mishmas of Abraham ben Asher Angel, as well as for Gittel Bas Yitzchak David Halevi, whose yahrzeit is today. So we left off last week. We had just introduced the Gezeirah Derabbanan called Peres HaNoshrin. The Gemara in the beginning of Masechet Beitzah tells us that in order to protect the violation of kotzer, we want to make sure that people don't pluck things off the trees on Shabbos, because plucking things off the tree on Shabbos is part of the Malacha D'Oraisa of kotzer, which is the Av Malacha that we're up to now. So in order to prevent people from doing this, Chazal prohibited that even if something fell off the tree by itself, a person walks by their backyard and they see that an apple fell off on Shabbos, so one should not eat that apple on Shabbos, because we were afraid that if you eat the apple, you may enjoy the apple, and boom, get another apple, you may end up going and plucking off another apple, which of course would violate Nisa D'Oraisa. So therefore Chazal prohibited, even though nothing happened, the apple fell off by itself, that's okay, but there's a Gezeirah Shem Yalav Yitzchak, which we're afraid that you may go ahead and you may pluck off the apple. So the Gemara at the beginning of Masechet Beitzah tells us that this Gezeirah of Peres HaNoshrin was not unique only to the Malach of Kotzer. This is a very similar type of a theme of a Gezeirah that we find under other circumstances as well. For example, the Gemara says in the same breath that one is not permitted to squeeze fruit on Shabbos when Yom Tov. That would be a potential Malach of Disha, and hopefully we'll talk about that in weeks and months to come. One is not permitted to squeeze fruit on Shabbos. So what if some fruit oozed out by itself, some juice oozed out by itself? So what could possibly be wrong with that? So it's also a problem because of the fruit, some of the juice is out of the fruit by itself. So we're afraid that you may taste the juice. Ooh, it tastes pretty good. Let's squeeze a little bit more. So that's called mashkin shizavu. So it's the same type of a gezeira. The Chazal prohibited, don't drink the juice that came up by itself. Gezeira may come to be soichei. Just as don't eat the fruit that fell off the tree by itself, gezeira may come to be toilish. So this is a common gezeira that seems to permeate all of the malachas. It's with this background that the Rishonim bothered with the question that there seems to be a Mishnah in the end of Masechet Shabbos that flies in the face of this, and the answer to this question has some very, very real ramifications halacha l'maaseh for us. The Mishnah says in the end of the 16th parak of Masechet Shabbos that obviously one is not allowed to ask a non-Jew to do malacha on behalf of them. That's the Issur D'Rabbanan called Demir Li'akum. But not only are you not allowed to ask a non-Jew to do malacha, if a non-Jew did malacha on their own, nobody asked them. They decided to do you a favor and to light a fire for you. They decided to build something for you. They decided to do something for you. So one is not permitted to benefit from that malacha until Shabbos is over. And not even until Shabbos is over. You have to wait a little bit longer than that. It's called b'chdei she'yasu. You have to wait the amount of time that it would have taken the non-Jew to do the malacha on after Shabbos. So let's say the non-Jew lit a fire for you. So you have to figure out how long does it take to get some blocks together, strike up a fire, it took 3 minutes. So we have to wait X amount of time, not to be nanami malacha Shabbos. There are different opinions in the Rishonim why exactly Chazal created this issur. Some say that just the very act of being nanami malacha Shabbos is a problem. Other Rishonim say it's a gezeirah because of Emir Yaakov. If you let people benefit from Emir Yaakov, next thing you know is next Shabbos to avoid that Emir Yaakov. So again, different reasons and important enough communities Ladina. But at the end of the day, the Mishnah says that explicitly. However, the Mishnah says that there is an exception to this rule, and the exception is one of the non-Jew does the malacha for himself. So the non-Jew is not interested in doing it for you, they're doing it for themselves, so then it's okay. Then you're allowed to be nana from malacha right after Shabbos. Sometimes it's not even so clear whether the non-Jew is doing it for themselves or doing it for you. Sometimes the Gemara says you live in a city and there are some Jews, some goyim, and you don't really know what the non-Jew did it for. So you have to follow the rule. If most people are non-Jews, so then we consider what he did on behalf of the non-Jews. And then as soon as Shabbos is over, you could use it. If most of the people in the town are Jewish, so then that's considered to be done on your behalf. And that would be a problem. And you would have to wait the amount of time. What's called b'chdei she'yasu, the amount of time to do that malacha after Shabbos. The only reason why I mention that is because I'm looking at a box of Dunkin' Donuts, and this is a very, very common shiloh. So halacha l'maaseh shiloh. So last night, a person wants to go into Dunkin' Donuts right after Shabbos. So Dunkin' Donuts happens to be owned by non-Jews. It's under a hashkocha, but it's owned by non-Jews, and it's open on Shabbos. So they're making donuts throughout the day of Shabbos. So a Jew wants to go in right after Avdol and need a donut. So the question is that permissible? Is that considered to be that the Jew, that the Goy is doing it on behalf of the Jews? Or is the Goy doing it on behalf of the Goyim? So I think that the Hashkocha of Dunkin' Donuts is assuming that most people in Tinek are still non-Jewish. So most people, anyone been at Dunkin' Donuts at any given time, and the more Jews, more good. What's a shadow? Don't answer that question, please. So we assume that the robe of the people are
don't they bake it off premises? And then they bake it.
Okay, that means they baked Elizabeth. Okay, so for the whole state of New Jersey. Okay, we decide to leave. So we assume that most of the donuts that are being made on behalf of the Goyim. And therefore, even though you're coming in the minute after Shabbos and you're eating it, so we assume that that's okay. That's the assumption. We'll keep with that assumption. That would not be a good situation. The workers are Jewish. I don't think most of the... I haven't gotten behind the scenes enough to notice, but my gut feeling is probably not. I tested my theory. Whenever we speak about the Dunkin' Donuts, about Mishalachim, so we would say that Dunkin' Donuts are not something that's Olah Shulchan Malachim. Because who eats Dunkin' Donuts? Policemen eat Dunkin' Donuts. Truck drivers eat Dunkin' Donuts. So I tested this on Friday night when I offered a donut to the security guard. So he said, nah, he didn't want it, even though he's an ex-policeman. So then I realized, no, the reason why, because it wasn't a Dunkin' Donuts, it was a Hamish, a Shisha donut. So he made a difference. Get back to that story. So the Mishnah says that if the non-Jew does a malacha for himself, then it's okay. Then you're allowed to be nana even on Shabbos itself. So come to Rishon, Ashpa, and others, and ask a question. How in the world can you be nana from the malacha, even though the non-Jew is doing it on his own behalf? Why don't we say, gezeira, that you may do the malacha? The same way that if the apple falls by itself, you can't eat the apple, because gezeira, you may come pluck into another apple. The same way if the juice oozes out by itself, you can't drink that juice because gezeira, you may come to squeeze juice. So if the non-Jew does some malacha for you, one of the examples that the Mishnah gives is that the non-Jew built something. They walk over the water or something, and the non-Jew built for himself a ramp. So the Gemara said, Mishnah says that Rami Gamliel walked down the same ramp. How could Rami Gamliel walk down the ramp? Because the guy did it for himself. But wait a second, why don't we say gezeira, you may build your own ramp. So any and every time a non-Jew does malacha for you on Shabbos, even if they're not doing for you, they're doing for themselves, what happened to this gezeira that Shema Yalav Yizosh? What happened to Peres Hanosha? What happened to Mashkin Shazavu? That's the question that the Rishonim ask. So there are two answers that are given to this kasha. So there are some Rishonim who say that the gezeira of Peres Hanosha, you make them to pluck an apple, that only makes sense. It's something which takes a split second to do. We're afraid in the spur of the moment, the guy's going to forget. He walks by and he sees a delicious apple on the floor. Ooh, let me get another one. It takes him 1 second, he'll forget that it's Shabbos. Or he sees some juice, and it takes him 2 seconds to squeeze a little bit more juice, he may forget that it's Shabbos. What are you afraid of? You're afraid the guy's going to forget that it's Shabbos, he's going to build himself a ramp down from the boat or something. It's going to take him an hour and a half to do it. So somebody that takes a Tirchi Yasei, or somebody that takes a long, long time, so that was never covered by the Gezeira of Peres HaNoshrin. That's what somebody should write. That whenever the Gemara speaks about Peres HaNoshrin, it doesn't speak about digging up vegetables. Talks about plucking fruit. Why? The fruit takes a split second to do. To get a vegetable, vegetables grow underground. You got to start digging, you got to start pulling, you got to start yanking. So within that interim of time, the person's going to remember that it's Shabbos. So the whole gezeira of Peres HaNoshrin, etc., doesn't make any sense out of the context of things that take a significant amount of time. That's one answer in Rishon. And other Rishon say that the difference between why, in the case of the Mishnah, by the building of the ramp, why that's okay, and we're not concerned that the Jew may do it himself, it has nothing to do with short-term versus long-term. It has to do with food. That food, people get very, very, jumpy when it comes to food. Guy gets hungry, he gets a taiva, chisabu enayim, he wants an apple, he's going to go grab that apple. A person sees a cup of juice, he's going to go squeeze that fruit to get out more juice. But other things, people don't act in such impulse. It takes people a little bit longer, a little more yishva das, until I think about, oh, should I make the ramp, not make the ramp? Yeah, no, no. Within those few minutes, a person will remember that it's Shabbos. But in Yom of Achila, whatever takes Achila, even if it takes a long time to do, somehow the Yetzirah is so pressing for food. Food and drink is such a pressing need. Therefore, Chazal was super duper careful, and they said that there's a gezeira across the board of gezeira / some of Peres HaNoshrin. So the Kandu Rishonim and say there's a tremendous nafkamin ladina between these two cases. What would the din be if a non-Jew does a malacha for himself, but it's something which is in the realm of food, and now I want to use that on Shabbos itself? Do I have to be concerned that if we let you use it, next thing you know is you may do the malacha yourself? So if you go down the route of the first answer, that the gezeira repairs at Oshrin only makes sense by cases that happen in a split second, but anything that takes a few seconds, a few minutes, was never included in the gezeira, so then if it takes a few minutes to prepare this food, we wouldn't be concerned. But if you go down the other route, namely that food is different and food trumps everything, food we're always concerned with, so then it doesn't matter how long it takes, that would be a problem. So the Rishonim discussed this halacha lemaisa about if a non-Jew bakes bread. He bakes bread for himself. Again, assuming that the bread is kosher and not worried about pasachlam and paspalt, all the different kashrus concerns, a very common thing, if a goyish bakery, is baking bread on Shabbos, they're baking it for themselves, and the question is, can a Jew partake of that bread? Well, let's say the Maaseh, can I eat Dunkin' Donuts on Shabbos? I'm not going to walk into the store. Someone comes and brings me Dunkin' Donuts on Shabbos itself. Is that permissible or not? So mitam amir liyakum, it's not a problem because we assume the non-Jew did it for himself. He made it for the non-Jews. But maybe we should ask the Dunkin' Donuts for a different concern. Maybe it's gezeira, I may come to bake my own donuts, assuming that such a gezeira exists. So does that make any sense or not? So according to the first group of Rishonim, there's no such gezeira, because since making a donut takes a long amount of time, so the gezeira doesn't apply. The gezeira was only set on 2 second activities, but according to the second view of Rishonim, that the gezeira was set on anything and everything that has to do with food and drink, so that would be a problem. So that's 2 days in Shulchan Aruch and the Shabbos. What's the din? If a non-Jew bakes bread for you, not for you, for himself, on Shabbos, can you eat that bread? A non-Jew makes a donut on Shabbos for himself, can you eat that donut? That's an unresolved issue in Shulchan Aruch. It's better to be machmed. It's more appropriate to be machmed than shayla. So this shot comes up halacha ma'aseh all the time. Person goes to a hotel on Shabbos, a non-Jewish hotel, and they want to have a cup of coffee. They go and they go there, 100 goyish guests there, and then they go again, putting aside kashrus issues, assuming there's plain coffee, no other thing, nothing else, no Starbucks, no nothing else that happening, flying around us. Just a simple poshut, a cup of coffee, but the non-Jew is making the coffee on Shabbos itself. So the question is, am I allowed to drink that cup of coffee? So I think the answer to that question is, it's a machlekes rishonim. It depends on the shayla. If you hold that the altsin amir liyakum, that wouldn't be a problem because the non-Jew is doing it for himself. He's doing it, there are mostly non-Jewish guests. If, let's say, a whole Jewish convention, a whole Shabbatot is taking over a hotel, and they're making the coffee for you, that's for sure also. That's the mission. That's not a question. For sure that's out of the question. But even if you're in a non-Jewish setting and the coffee is primarily being made for the Goyish guests, according to Hef to Rishon, that would still be a problem. Because the mere fact that something is being done on Shabbos automatically kicks in a gezeira. It's gezeira shemi yalav yitlosh, in a sense. It's a gezeira you may come to make the cup of coffee yourself. Even though it takes a couple of minutes to brew the coffee, it makes a little bit of time to make the coffee. But it's food, it's drink. And once you deal with food and drink, that becomes an automatic red light. So that's a big machlekes in Rishonim. People ask me to shout all the time, so I tell them the same answer. It's machlekes in Rishonim, it's two opinions in Shulchan Aruch, and the more correct thing to do is to be machber, not to partake of the coffee, and then even in the non-Jewish establishments. No, Kadesh Yasu, you don't have to wait, because since it's being done for the Goyim, so the Isra of Kadesh Yasu wouldn't kick in. Unless, again, unless it's being done for a Jewish group, that would be a problem. The original sugya of Peres Anoshrin, this Issa Midrabanan of partaking of fruit that fell off the tree on Shabbos, happens to appear in Maseches Beitz. It doesn't even appear explicitly in Maseches Shabbos. It appears in the context of Yontif, and the Gemara says very clearly that this Gezeirah applies equally to Yontif as well as to Shabbos, which raises a question within the Rishonim, why should that be so? Because, quite frankly, why is it prohibited on Yontif to pluck a fruit altogether? The Gemara says explicitly that you can't eat a fruit that fell off the tree on Yontif. We're afraid you may come to pluck off the apple in Yontif. So the Rishonim of the spot is, and what's wrong with plucking off the apple? We never have Echol Nefesh. The Torah says that Echol Nefesh is permissible. You're allowed to do food-oriented malachas on Yontif. So now we have to stop Shabbos for a minute, move into the realm of Hilchos Yontif, and answer that question. Why is the Peres Anoshrin prohibited on Yontif? Why is Kotzef in the first place prohibited on Yontif? What happened to Echol Nefesh? So the answer is clearly it's us. That's explicit Gemara. You can't argue with that. But why it's us was a big question in the Rishonim. So there are fundamentally two different approaches in the Rishonim on how to solve this dilemma. So one group of Rishonim say that the question is better than the answer, that inochinami, that minat Torah is in fact permissible, that you are allowed to pluck an apple on Yontif. You're right, inochinami. Midarais, you can go and pluck your apple. Minat Torah, you can go and harvest your grain. Whatever is food-oriented, everything is mutter on Yontif. It's all included in Echol Nefesh. So why do we find that Chazal clearly prohibited? So it must be prohibited for some reason midirabonon. And what is that reason midirabonon? So different Rishonim have different guesses what that issa d'rabbanon is. So the Rambam writes that maybe the issa d'rabbanon is because it's going to interfere with simchas yontif. If you let a person harvest his grain and pluck his trees and go apple picking and all these kinds of things, so he's not going to have his basa, yayin, his yontif, his howl, his simcha. He's not going to be doing yontif in a covetic way. So it's going to detract from his celebration of yontif. The Ravid says, why do you have to focus on the detraction from the positive aspect of yontif? Isn't that in of itself just a degradation of yontif? It's a design of yontif. It's a very weak, the guy's going to go to his backyard, he's going to go put on his overalls and go with his pickup truck and he's up plucking his trees and harvesting his grain and everything. So that's not a very yontif type of a look. But that's going to be a zilzul of yontif. So those are the different reasons that the Rishonim give why Chazal prohibited it. But again, the common denominator is that it's only prohibited mid the Rabbanim according to those Rishonim. But other Rishonim take a different approach. Tosfos, in the beginning of Masechet Beitz, takes the approach based on the Rishalmi, that this is a real problem in HaTorah. that plucking an apple on Yontif is not a derabbanan dikur problem because it doesn't look nice because it's going to ishter your Yontif or something. It's a very, very serious problem. It's a violation of kotzer on the level of deraisa. How could it be kotzer deraisa if it's for food? Isn't it echel nefesh? So Tosfos quotes from Yerushalmi that not all malachas are permissible for echel nefesh. That there is a pasuk says in Pashas Bo that you're not allowed to do malach on Yontif except for echel nefesh. And in the same breath, the Torah says ushmartem es matzos. You have to watch and guard your matzos. So the Rishami has a drasha deraisa, that only at that stage of the preparation of grain, where there's a mitzvah of shmur matzah, only at that point do we say that there's a heter of echel nefesh. At what point do you have to guard your grain? So the Rishami says, everybody knows that shmur takes place b'shas lisha. It only makes sense to guard your grain once you start to knead the dough. What are you guarding your grain for earlier than that? There's no water anyway. So the whole mitzvah of Shmur Matzah only begins Shmur Mishas Lisha. That's the view of the Rishami. Now, of course, we know that we don't follow that. The Bavli quotes such an opinion also, and then the Bavli quotes another opinion that disagrees. And it's not clear what the Maskanat of Bavli is. That's why our practice has become, we're much, much more machmer on that. We have what's called Shmur Mishas Ketzira. If you would go to the store and buy a box and pay $40 for a pound of matzahs, and it would say Shmur Mishas Lisha, you're getting ripped off. You may be getting ripped off for the Shmur Mishas Ketzira also, but our minute is that we insist on Shmur Mishas Ketzira, which obviously is going to hike up the price, because it's very simple. The more eyes that are watching the grain, the more expensive it's going to be. You have to pay for the Mashgiach. So now it's not enough just to pay for the Mashgiach in the matzah bakery to make sure Mishas Lish everything's okay. Now you have to pay for him to go out to the fields. He's got to go up the grain for Shmur Matzah. This comes from upstate New York. So you got to send the guy up, sitting in the fields for months and months and months before. Said, by the way, right now is actually when they start the matzah bakery. Right now, Chanukah time. He said, I don't know what, the Shan Mubaris, maybe they wait a couple of weeks, I'm not sure. But that's when the matzah bakery starts. So the baking starts Chanukah time. So Kavachoyma, the harvesting was weeks, months before. So you have to start paying for Mashkichim to wash Mishas Ketzira, so it becomes much, much more expensive. But the Rishami doesn't accept it. The Rishami's view is that all you need is Shmur Mishas Lisha. And therefore, the Rishami says that since the word Shmartem as a matzah refers to Lisha, and Achashe Achachon Nefesh is a heter of Echon Nefesh, you're only allowed to do Echon Nefesh, what's called Milisha Ve'elach. Anything in the preparation of bread from kneading the dough and onwards, that is covered by the heter of Echon Nefesh. Anything prior to that, such as Ketzira, would be an Issa D'Araisa. So that's a big machlekes Rishonim. Tosus is following the Rishonim against the Ram and the Ravid. What is the Halacha? Halacha L'maisa, a guy plucks an apple off his tree. On Yom Tov, is that an Issa D'Araisa? That's the view of Tosfos. Or is that only an Issa D'Rabbanan? That's the view of the Ram and the Ravid. That's already not clear in Halacha. It's not that much of an Nafkamin. At the end of the day, you're not allowed to do it anyway. The D'Araisa D'Rabbanan, but it would happen Nafkamin, at least in a theoretical sense. That din that the Rishami says that Melisha Ve'eloch is permissible, that means Melisha for sure is okay. For sure you're allowed to knead dough on Yom Tov. That was never shal. You're allowed to bake bread, you're allowed to bake challahs, you're allowed to make cakes on Yom Tov. That's for sure okay. Melisha Ve'eloch is for sure permissible. This is in contrast to one of my kids came home from school several years ago. They were apparently learning something about Hukas Yom Tov, and they told me that the Mora said that you're not allowed to knead dough on Yom Tov. You're allowed to bake bread on Yom Tov, but you're not allowed to knead the dough. You have to knead the dough from before Yom Tov. So I was in a little bit of a quandary that on the one hand, they don't want to undermine the teacher. On the other hand, it's Shekhev HaChazam. The din is that the Lisha Ve'eloch is not there. So we try to explain, the answer, the kids will say, oh, it's a different minute. In Washington Heights, they have a different minute. It's a mistake. It's a minute. Okay, anyway, getting back to the story. So Kotzer on Yom Tov is for sure prohibited, but we're not sure whether it's a Deraisa or Derabbanan. Since we're all learning Kotzer, so even though this year is for Melech HaShabbos, there is a very, very important Nakuda that comes up in terms of Yom Tov that touches on Kotzer. So we just want to digress just for a moment. The digression may take us to the end of the year and the next week, but just for a moment, that there is a Gemara in the a little bit later on in Masech HaShabbos, the Gemara quotes a Machlekes HaTanoim, what exactly constitutes an act of Kaitzer or not? We usually think Kaitzer means something's growing in the ground. So if a person goes and he plucks an apple, that's Kotzer, and Shabbos is Deraisa, Yom Tov maybe Deraisa. A person harvests the grain, that's for sure Kotzer Deraisa on Shabbos, maybe on Yom Tov as well. What if a person takes honey out of a honeycomb? So a Rode Chalos Drash. So I don't know too much about the honeycombs, the back of the honeycomb box of cereal. But if a person takes some honey out of a honeycomb, You know, what is the significance of that in Hilchos Shabbos and Hilchos Yontif? So the Gemara quotes the Machlokes HaTanoim. One Tana, Rabbi Eliezer, was of the opinion that's called Kotzer Deraisa. Even though when it's Kotzer Deraisa, that's not true. It's not growing in the honeycomb. So Rabbi Eliezer has a drasha, very very unique drasha. Pasuk can say for Shmuel, Yaros Dvash, a whole drasha that Dvash is considered to be like a yar. Yar is a forest, and Dvash is honey. So the Pasuk in Shmuel refers to the Yaros Dvash. So Rabbi Eliezer has drasha. But just as if you pluck something out of a forest on Shabbos, you chayev skila. So too, if you pull the honey out of the honeycomb, you would be chayev skila as well. So Rabbi Eliezer has the unique shita that a rodecha dvash is chayev on Shabbos. And the Chacham say anyway, shvus. The Chacham say that's not true. The Chacham say it looks a little bit like kaitzim. You go out to the fields and you find you see honey and it's in this honeycomb and what was his name? Yogi Bear. No, didn't he do that? Okay, so he sticks his head inside the thing and he kicks to the honey. So that's it, gets his head stuck. So that was, I remember from the Free of the Gadaris. So the little kids don't know what I'm talking about. So the person gets the honey out of the honeycomb. So we pass in, that's only the Rabban. That's not a case of the Raisa. That's only, I see people are much more focusing now on that reference. So the Machlek is at the Rabban. Rabbeleza says that's Kotz of the Raisa, and the Rabbanim say that's only Kotz of the Rabbanim. So the Gemara has a strange statement. The Gemara says that according to the view of Rabbeleza, we happen not to follow Rabbeleza. But according to the view of Rabbi Eliezer, the Gemara says that Rodech Elas Dvash B'Shabbos is Chayef Skila B'Yontif Loikes Arboim. If a person does it on Yontif, so then he's going to be in a very, very serious violation of Kotzer. He's going to be in such an serious violation of Kotzer that he's going to be Chayef Malkus for it. Now you see those words, Chayef Malkus. So Chayef Malkus, that's an automatic statement that we're dealing with in the Nesedir Raisa. So come to Rishon the bottom with this kasha. What do you mean, Deraisa? We just got finished saying that we're not even sure that Kotzer is even also on Yontif Deraisa. Maybe it's coming by a whole Nefesh. So how could the Gemara say that? Again, Lahalacha, we don't paskin Chalas Bash. We paskin the whole thing as Deraban anyway. Maybe Shabbos, maybe Yontif. But according to the view of Rabbi Eliezer, how in the world can the Gemara say that Yechai Malkos, how could that be a Nisid Deraisa? So Lachor, the answer must be that the person is doing it in a situation where Mitoch, where Echol Nefesh doesn't apply. Normally, there's a principle of Echol Nefesh. You're allowed to do things for food. So there must be, this is some kind of a strange way. He's removing the honey from the honeycomb in some very, very bizarre manner that for some technical reason is not called Echol Nefesh. Why is it not Echol Nefesh? What's not Echol Nefesh about it? So Tosis is guessing. Tosis is searching for some reason to explain what's lacking in Echol Nefesh. So Tosis says, it must be that the fellow's doing it a minute before Yom Tov is over. Oh, he's doing it a minute before Yom Tov is over and he doesn't want to eat the honey anymore. The stomach, that's the reason why it's not subject to the het of Echol Nefesh min haTorah. So Tosfos says, well, what do you mean? You can feed it to a guest, as we all know. The Gemara says that you can feed it to a guest, so it's still called Malachas Hayom. So Tosfos says, you see from here that a malacha that's done at the last second on the buzzer, right before Yom was over, so you can't, there's no way for a guest to come to eat the honey, so the clock just ran out, and that's called Kotzer Deraisa and Yechayev Malkus. So some of you may be wondering, why am I talking about this? Well, honey, we don't even paskin the honey store, we paskin honey's only Derabanan, it's not a Deraisa anyway, it's a Yomtif, the whole thing is the Hechel Shabbos, not a Yomtif Shia. So why am I draining a cup with honey for the last second before the buzzer on the buzzer of Shabbos? So the answer is that the nafkamina of what we just mentioned, this crazy wild scenario, is going to impact us any and every time that we make an Erev Tavshilin is going to impact upon us. This is the Halacha L'Maaseh Shaila. The whole root of the Shaila, the whole essence of the Shaila began way, way back in the Sugya of taking honey out of your honeycomb, which may not even be a violation of Kotzer in the first place. So we're going to have to stop for now and continue this hopefully next week. Just this last Akuda in terms of Halacha Kotzer, how this impacts on us on every Friday going into Yom Tov to Shabbos. And then hopefully next week we'll continue with some of the other aspects of the Halacha Kotzer. Is anybody drawing to the Bris now?